Okay, welcome back. Hour number two, and on Saturday and Sunday, I didn't think there was going to be an hour number two or an hour number one tonight, but I just have this idea that there's work to be done and a large number of folks out there depending on it, so I'm back. A lot of you heard, I guess, that I was in an automobile accident on Friday. I'll tell you about that and more in a couple of minutes. There are issues about it that are quite bothersome, which we'll discuss. I'm not one to jump into conspiracies. I report on them. But when the evidence tends to point that way, I have to pay attention. Tim Riefatt is back with us this hour. And I asked him to be here tonight because he understands a lot about psychokinetics and the idea of controlling the mind from distance, which is actually rather old technology. It's very interesting. You'll hear about things that were around in the 1960s. They were obviously used to remove people who got in the way, so to speak. But let's first bring Tim on here, then I'll tell you my little story about what happened so all of you know there aren't any unanswered questions that I can deal with. Welcome back, Tim. Thanks for being here.
Hello, Jeff. Thanks for having me on again.
It's a pleasure to have you back on again. Like I say, you driving one minute, and the next minute it's hours later, and you're in intensive care with people hovering over you, and you have no idea what happened. It's very strange. I live off of a two-lane road. It's called a highway, but it's a two-lane highway. And my driveway comes down to it, and I turn off the highway and go up to my residence. Friday, I was coming home about 6 p.m. Pacific time, getting ready to do the program at 7 p.m. Pacific time, as I always do. And the sun was not down. It was plenty bright. The sun was still peeking over the mountains. The road was clear. Sky was very nice, no problem. I don't have a... We have chatter in the background there, Tim. I don't know if there's something on there.
Sorry?
I heard some noise back there.
All right, what about now?
Okay, good. No, it's still there. Something's talking. Anyway, okay, I'll continue. So I'm driving down the highway about 55 or 60, approaching the driveway. I must have been about maybe 300 feet, 100 yards, 200 yards at the most from the driveway. On the right side of the road is just a simple gravel shoulder and then a very deep ditch. It's about 5 feet deep, maybe 5 feet wide, and it's for runoff water, drainage, and it does serve a very good purpose. Now, that's right next to the highway. No guardrail, nothing. And I'm driving, anticipating coming up to the driveway and turning to go home and do the program. And the next thing I knew, it was over 3 hours later, and I was in, not the first, but the second hospital I was in ICU, and they had the operating room and a neurosurgeon standing by. They were about ready to roll me in there to operate on my head. I had a lot of pain in my left arm. I had no idea what had happened, how I got there, nothing. Later on, I had a fragment of memory of flying through the air in my car, which was a Toyota Land Cruiser, an older one, very strong car, dual airbags, excellent seat belts. And I've always bought and operated a larger car to have protection. Well, what happened was inexplicable. I don't fall asleep at the wheel. I drive very alertly. I have no problem. Now, in an accident, which is what I had, it is often said that you do not remember the details. Too horrible, too frightening, head trauma, whatever. All I know is what I was told. What I was told was I drove off that road, off the right shoulder, and it would just have taken a second at 60 miles an hour, and down through the air, into the bottom of that large drainage ditch. The front of the car hit the bottom of the ditch. The car cartwheeled over completely, the Land Cruiser, and then apparently rolled out onto the highway and stopped, completely destroyed. They said it looks... I haven't seen it. I don't even know where it is. I got to find it tomorrow. The car looked like an accordion. Apparently the glass was all out of it. I have no recollection of anything except a fragment of feeling of, as I said, of flying through the air in the car. That's it. I was picked up by paramedics, bless them all, and probably kept alive. I had suffered a fractured left wrist. I'm left-handed, so that's makes typing a little tough and writing hard, but it's okay. The main injuries were to my head, which suffered a dual subdural hematoma, which means you got bruising in between your brain and the skull. In my case, I looked at the CAT scan pictures, and it was on both sides, left and right. And that's why they were going to wheel me into the operating room to operate to drain the blood off the brain. I didn't want that, and they were going to do one more CAT scan to take a look. They did, and it hadn't gotten any worse, so the neurosurgeon said, well, we'll hold off. And I said, good, I want to go home tomorrow. He says, oh, I don't know, you need to be here about 4 days at least. And I said, well, I really would like to go home. He said, well, we'll talk about it tomorrow after we do another CAT scan. So the night passed in ICU, and the people that work in there are absolutely wonderful, just wonderful, kind, gentle, intelligent nurses. And their job is to keep people alive and out of discomfort as much as they can. Let me tell you, I had a headache like I've never had in my life. And no matter how much pain medication they gave, it didn't dull it. It was not pleasant. I have no recollection of the wreck, of being taken out of the wreck, of being transported by EMT ambulance to one hospital, evaluated, reloaded in the ambulance, taken to another hospital, and ending up, as I said, in ICU. It's a very eerie feeling to have lost time like that, especially for someone who focuses on every little minute as much as he or she can. I'm sure most of you would understand that. But it vanished. Now, again, I don't fall asleep. I have no recall of a deer bolting in front of the car or a bicyclist in the way. There is a little bike lane on the shoulder. I have no recollection of anything. I found out yesterday that someone knew a group of neighbors, and there was quite a crowd on the highway watching the recovery. And apparently there were people crying because I was dead as far as they were concerned. And when they pulled me out, I was totally unconscious, and I must have looked quite dead. There were people upset, and it must have been quite a scene. I used to cover car accidents for almost 3 years, 24 hours a day. I'd always go, and I've seen them all, pretty much. And this one had to be pretty grotesque. But I guess the point is, why did it happen? This is a big car. Both airbags deployed when the bumper hit the bottom of the ditch, and then the car flipped forward at least one time and then rolled sideways, I think. That's my understanding of it, at any rate. I hope to see the car tomorrow and retrieve some of my possessions. But how can it be that a very good, alert driver suddenly drives off the road to the right into a ditch, a big ditch, a fatal ditch? The word on the wreck was that it was not usually a survivable kind of wreck. But seat belts and the airbags and God Almighty, I guess, made sure that I stayed around and didn't go away. I'm very sore. I'm very weak, but I'm also extremely overwhelmed and humbled by the amount of emails and calls that came in from people all over the world who cared. And I when I woke up in ICU, I said, you got to get an email to my webmaster. I said, I don't want this on the site. I don't seek pity. I would just as soon deal with this quietly. And they did that. So there was nothing on the site. The issue was the head injury, which for the first few hours I couldn't remember my name. I didn't know what day it was. I had trouble counting. I guess that, again, is common of a severe concussion and brain trauma. But it gradually got better. And I left the hospital about 24 hours later on Saturday. And here it is Monday night. I'm very weak, as I said. It just takes a lot out of you. Obviously, I was really banged up. I've got bruises and stuff, but the airbags and the seat belts. For God's sakes, people, please wear your seat belts. I do see people that don't, and try to get a car that has at least one airbag. It will save your life. Maybe there's a higher power involved. I don't really know. But the question is, of course, why did I drive off of 15, 16 years I've been driving this road? Why did I drive off? It would only take about a second for you to take your eye off the road, and it could happen. But I have no recall of the moments before or anything. I don't remember seeing a deer on the way or an animal or a bicyclist or joggers, nothing on the shoulder. So why did I go into the ditch? Should have been the end of Jeff. You have to start asking questions. I don't want to dramatize this. That's not my game. I'm very pragmatic about things. Had I had a blowout, had I seen a deer and a swerved, I'd be the first to tell you. I do know that just recently I have been obviously singled out for very harsh treatment by certain Jewish organizations who don't like the fact that I criticize Israel. You're not supposed to do that. It makes you an anti-Semite, whatever that really is. And then this. There are other people who don't like me and don't like what I do and don't like my program, don't like the information I offer. The Pentagon doesn't in many cases because it is a situation where I'm trying to help all of you understand what the pentagram is really doing, and that's sometimes exposing information that they would rather not have exposed. So would there be a group or a party or parties interested in causing a crash? Very doable. Car crashes are extremely easy means of disposing of enemies and problems. There's total plausible deniability. So what happened? Well, Tim is absolutely extraordinary in his understanding of psychic powers, of how the mind works, of energy weapons, of beam weapons, EMF weapons. And I got to talking to him, and the first thing he said was, that was a hit. You were supposed to be dead. They switched your brain off, and you simply drifted right off the road. And I said, what are you talking about? Now, I know they have technology that can do this, but it's hard to think that they would do that to me. We just don't think of ourselves as an enormous problem. But I guess in this case, I am a rather substantial problem to some people. And there might be some people who would have an interest in getting rid of me. So I asked him if he'd come on the program tonight and explain how simple it is and how old the technology is to take somebody out of consciousness on demand when they're driving a car and they lose control of their car and they're dead. Remember the reporter in L.A., Michael Harrison, for some strange reason, got in his Mercedes and began driving 90 miles an hour, crashed into a tree and killed. Obviously, something going on there, a hit, an assassination. I do believe there is a chance that I was targeted for assassination. I'm very, very grateful to be here. And I'm going to kind of go over to Tim now and ask him to give me his views on what he thinks might have happened, and is there reason to kill somebody like me to get me out of the way? And I think most of you know the answer to that. But all right, Tim, thanks again for being here. Tell us what you think about this.
Well, remember we talked on Friday, and that was in the early morning, and we were discussing sending the link across from psychicwarfare.com with the pictures where I have completed the front end of the website explaining the Pentagon's psychic warfare program based upon the Star Wars franchise, and the test run being Spock Nimoy using the energy of the audience to give to Geller for ESP, and then the Star Wars franchise to use it on a strategic scale, and how I've documented every single step of the U.S. Psychic warfare program, based on sucking the energy out of the audience in multiplexes to power psychic warfare, which isn't knowledge dependent. It depends upon the amount of energy you've got, which comes from the human batteries and the technology to suck them dry, which is just developments of MK Ultra, all based upon research which the Nazis carried out under the auspices of the Ahnenerbe.
Let's call them Germans.
Sorry?
Yeah. Let's call them Germans.
Yeah. And of course, this was the motive, because there's been nothing else that happened on Friday, which was vital.
Well, we have years and years of this program on the website.
Yeah,
and
but remember, we were, that I'm just looking at the specific incident on Friday.
How long would it take them to set something up like that? How much planning would go into it, do you think?
Well, remember, we were discussing for about a week before sticking it up on the website. And, of course, I talked about, I'd sent you the link with the pictures on that Friday, and you were hit that day. So I'm just saying there has to be a motive. There has to be something that drives them completely crazy, and revealing to the public the psychic warfare program of the United States and publicizing it to a million plus people via your website would be a motive. The next step is the means of killing you very easy. It's all based upon 1960s technology, and this is based upon research by the Russians, documented by Sheila Ostrander and Lynn Schroeder in their books. This comes from Cosmic Memory, the Super Memory Revolution. It's also in Psychic Discoveries Behind the Iron Curtain Revealed.
I had, I think I had Lynn on the program. Now, are you going to read this short segment to us?
Yeah, it needs to be read, because, of course, we're not talking conspiracy theory here. We're talking meat. I only talk about facts. I only talk about the science. I only talk about documented research. That's the whole basis of the website, psychicwarfare.com. And it's no good giving my views. They're irrelevant. I'm talking about hard facts from scientists and how it's done. So this is page 297, The Electro Current of Consciousness. The authors state, in Moscow, we noted that the Soviets had gone high-tech with hypnosis, seeing it as an energetic phenomena influencing the body's many energies, bioelectric, biomagnetic, and bioplasmic energy, the chi energy of acupuncture. They devised detectors to monitor these signals to determine the depth and kind of trance, controlling the body's energies by either hypnosis or electronic machines. They could affect consciousness, memory, and behavior. For 30 years, remember, this research comes from the 60s, so the Soviets have been working since the 30s on it.
Sure.
Soviet researchers have used an effective, undetectable aid to induce hypnosis, a pulsed ELF field instead of the flashing strobe used in the United States. ELF means extremely low frequency, from 0 to about 20 hertz, which is in the brain frequency range. We've got alpha around the 14 mark, theta around the 7 mark, delta under 3, and beta over 20 hertz.
So if they were to use a delta based frequency, which is deep sleep, and pulse that at somebody, that's what Schroeder
and Ostrander
were saying.
Yeah, that would make them sleepy, but
it wouldn't shut them down necessarily.
But it wouldn't shut them down instantly. The Russians found a way of putting people into deep anesthesia, as if they'd been knocked out with drugs instantly.
That's what happened to me.
Yeah, that's what the Russians.
Absolutely gone.
So one moment you're awake, the next moment you're asleep. You can do this if you're like myself, you're a remote viewer and can focus on the target. Lynn Schroeder and Ostrander have the EEG photograph of this happening from the receiver to the sender in their book Psychic Discovery, Behind the Iron Curtain Discovered. The first of the photographs at the bottom of the page. And of course, you don't need to have a psychic like myself to do it. You can do it with electronic means. But simply put, if you're a psychic, you can focus on someone like Shand, the brother of Camilla, married to Prince Charles. Knock him out and direct his head onto the curb to kill him in New York. You can do it to the helicopter pilot flying MI5 back from Northern Ireland, so they crash into Mullock and Tyre, killing 20-odd MI5 vermin. You can do it to the pilots coming in to land in Russia with the whole Polish government. You get the general gist. That's done psychically, but you can do it electronically very, very easily. People like myself are few and far between. Now back to the book. In 1983, Dr. Ross Adie of the Loma Linda VA Hospital.
That's a famous name, Ross Adie.
Right. Yep, he was the medical doctor who was funded by the CIA for the Pandora Project, which looked into ways of doing this using microwaves.
He
experimented with influencing monkeys and then humans with 147 megahertz and 450 megahertz. The big antenna in Lewis for the Sussex Police Force is beaming out 147 megahertz by coincidence, and the cordless phones that were used beamed out 450 megahertz just by coincidence. But the good why he used this is because these low frequency, it's not the high frequency of a microwave, it's more in the television band. It is very penetrating, and unlike microwave, which heats up the air and a small part of the brain, it goes right through the head. And if you can modulate ELF onto 147 megahertz or 450 megahertz, then you can influence specific parts of the brain. And if, of course, you use a maser, because most listeners won't be an expert on psychic warfare like myself, a maser is like a laser, but it beams and gets microwave photons in a beam, which you can't see, but instead of having a light laser, you have microwave...
So a maser emits...
A maser emits a beam like a laser, but it's the photons are not light photons, they're microwave photons.
All right.
And then you simply switch it on and off at ELF frequencies. You pulse it, that's called pulsing. And if you pulse it at specific frequencies, you can then, of course, 6.66 hertz at someone's head, they will go suicidal. If you pulse it at 11.2 hertz, they'll become manic and aggressive. So it's very easy to control behavior. Dr. Ross Adie did this research, and he found that when microwaves were beamed at the brain neurons, what happened was that calcium ions, which cause the neurons to fire, efflux, which means they move out of the brain cells, and this, of course, produces the potentiation on the neurons, which causes the pulsing electrical signals. So he was very interested for the CIA in order to control the brain. Back to the book, electronic LIDAR was used by interrogators on unknowing POWs to induce trance and capture information from their memories. Inducing trance greatly facilitated access to their memories, sped up memory recall, and elicited compliance. Now, to knock Jeff Rentz out instantly so he crashes is not the complicated stuff that Dr. Ross Adie did, which of course was in he was looking at specific engrams in order to control behavior. All they needed to do in Jeff Rentz was to switch his brain off so he fell asleep instantly. This, of course, was discovered by the Soviets, back to the book, mapping the body's bioelectric fields. Soviets found that waking consciousness itself is a function of direct currents that run from negative to positive poles in the brain.
So there's a polarity in the brain,
a central
negative to
front
positive.
To backflow in the head. So you've got a positive charge in the front, which of course is caused by calcium efflux, which produces calcium ions, which are 2+, which then of course flow to the, which causes a plus at the front of the head, and you don't have the same amount of calcium efflux at the back of the head, because calcium ions are positive, so the positive charge is caused by calcium efflux at the front of the head, not at the back. And as long as you've got a plus at the front and a minus at the back, for those of you who want to understand it, if you're a Cardassian, simply put the little pointy bit of the battery faces front, the flat end faces backwards. And as long as the battery is in that position, you're awake. Now, if we can turn it over, so the little pointy bits to the back of the head and the flat bits to the front, or we can just level it out, then you will instantly fall asleep or go into a coma. And the Russians found that by passing a low voltage current through the front of the brain, this of course is negative to cancel the positive, current through the front of the brain to the back, you can cancel the normal current of waking consciousness and knock a person out. He will have no memory of what's happening. This electro zap can also totally anesthetize a person. The speculative possibilities are enough to warm the cockles of the coldest covert heart. The Soviets had discovered what Dr. Robert Becker of the Syracuse VA hospital was only to confirm decades later. That was in the 80s. Chemical anesthesia, acupuncture anesthesia, and hypnotic anesthesia all work the same way. They reverse the polarities of the brain's electrocurrent of consciousness. Publicly, Soviets released an electro-sleep machine, often dubbed the sleep gun, to be used for surgical anesthesia, therapeutic relaxation, and sleep therapy. Obviously, undercover use of this consciousness zapper wasn't publicized, but it certainly would be a handy gun in order to kill Jeff Rentz, of course. In addition to the electro-zap, Soviets found that strong magnetic fields also can interrupt the brain's consciousness current and knock out people and animals. Becker made the same discovery. The EEG recordings for magnetic and chemical anesthesia were identical, he saw. So there's one way of knocking you out. You simply switch off or reverse this polarity. And, of course, what you do is, first of all, you go into Jeff Rentz's house, put a tag in the back of his shirt, so that then accurately allows you to fire at a specific part of his brain, or in the back of his headrest, or in the headlining.
That would be the place to do it, in a headrest.
Yeah,
sure.
Or in the headlining, or in the dashboard, as long as you know where it is, and you've got pictures of Jeff Rentz driving, you can then accurately, from the position of the tags...
Well, I must say... I'm listening carefully, and it technology from the 60s, it has to have been improved since then in terms of deployability, operability, and, well, the part of the highway was such that someone could have been 200 yards down, concealed in shrubbery. I never would have seen him. Nobody would have seen him.
Exactly. Now, with a tag on your clothing or in the car, you can then accurately hit... the brain spot needed. Then, of course, you need a maser, which, of course, low power. We're not trying to do what we did with a drone on Kim Jong-il, which is fly a drone by his brain, by his train, and then burn his brain out with a microwave laser to induce a stroke. Well, all we're trying to do is switch off the positive to negative differential in your brain. The maser... would be at 147 megahertz or 450, not higher, not in the microwave range, because that just tends to heat your cranium up. The cranium's resistant.
You don't want that.
EM radiation, so you'd you would use the 147 megahertz. You then pulse it at the cyclotron resonance of calcium, which was used in Tetra, the British Police Force's mobile phone network, and it's around 18 hertz. So you get 147 megahertz maser. You you target it on the brain of Jeff Rentz, and you then, of course, switch it on and off at 18 hertz, or 17.8. You can look up
how long of an exposure would you need? A few seconds?
That then, of course, causes the part of the brain that's hit with the maser to release calcium ions, which spiral outwards from the cell to the surface, causing two plus ions to appear on the outside of the surface. If you fire it at the front of the brain, then, of course, you're increasing the positive potential in the brain, and Jeff Rentz becomes alert. If you fire it at the back of the brain, where you're supposed to have the negative potential, then the negative potential is cancelled by the two plus ions spiraling outwards, and that then means that the positive to negative is cancelled, and instantly Jeff Rentz goes unconscious within a second.
It's kind of, I want to say coming back to me, but I do have this feeling that I was floating in the car, but I was also floating in my consciousness, if that makes any sense. I was completely disconnected.
That's from the research with the Russians, because, of course, they didn't use it to knock people out. They used it to knock people out, and then the remote viewer, like myself, goes into their body and starts telepathically hypnotizing them from a distance. And this is documented in Psychic Discoveries Behind the Iron Curtain, discovered by Schroeder and Ostrander. And the picture of the EEG of the sender who knocks out the receiver is there. And it's a few seconds after they send the psychic impulse, the receiver falls unconscious. Once you fall unconscious, you are then totally programmable. Mm-hmm. With you, they were using a maser, which when it hits your brain, instantly cancels the positive to negative differential in your brain, instantly knocking you out, as if someone had connected you up to surgical anesthesia gas, or had injected you. But this would be instant. It wouldn't take the few seconds in a hospital.
Right,
one moment you're awake. And the next moment you
that's
would
exactly
be
right. Asleep. I was see, if you're driving, folks, I mean most of you, and you a little dazy or drowsy, you're going to still be able to drive. I was completely alert, and I was then completely shut off, and I was just floating mentally, and I felt like I was floating in the car. I was out, gone. I don't know where I was. I just had that sense. It's a fragment, but that's the only thing I can remember. And then I didn't wake up for several hours.
Yeah, the speed is frightening, because one moment you're awake, the next moment you're out. And if you look at the EEG photograph in the Schroeder book, you'll see that they are knocked out not over a period of minutes, but one moment they're awake, the next moment they are unconscious.
The other,
and that's done with remote influencing. Mm-hmm. Documented by myself on the website with a maser. You can imagine the same thing, same mechanism. We're just switching off the positive to negative polarity.
Mm-hmm.
One is by moving my energy body over yours, and the other one is by direct means with a microwave maser, which of course is pulsed at the calcium ion.
No problem. 200 yards away, 100 yards away.
No, and the good thing is, thankfully, the U.S. flies drones all over the United States, and you can be sure that they have these masers with the computer targeting in the drone, so they don't even need to be in the bushes. They simply come up behind your car driving along the highway, the drone does, which can be some miles away.
I see.
Fire through the
easy,
back.
The, right through
fire
the top.
Fire through the back. The Land Cruiser's good because it's got a high glass back.
Yeah.
It's not like a sports car where there's only a tiny glass. So it doesn't need to come down to treetop level. It then fires its maser into the back of Jeff Rentz's brain at the calcium efflux frequency. That then means the negative potential at the back of the brain gets swamped by these calcium 2+ ions, which are spiral out with the cyclotron resonance, which of course is the pictures and the documentation of that is in Dr. Robert Becker's book, for those of you who want to look it up, Total Fact. And immediately the maser hits your brain at the back of your head. Remember, it's a rear attack in order to knock you out. Then you fall unconscious. So a drone flying behind a car can knock you out.
Or a car behind a car. Doesn't matter. Hold on, Taylor. We'll be right back.
That'd be even easier. You can have it in the car behind you.
Sure. That'd be even easier. All right. We'll be right back in just a minute. Talking about Jeff's Friday night, Saturday, and I was home Saturday night. I should have been in the hospital, I said, at least 4 days, just to watch and keep tracking and see if there were any more hemorrhages, or if the hemorrhages looked like they were going to move around as clots. And anyway, trauma injury to the brain, not fun. Worst headache ever. Most wonderful people ever helping. Unusual, though, that the best that they had, narcotic-wise, did not dull the pain in the head. It was that bad. So I got my lucky one, I guess, my free one. And I hope from now on I'm going to have to find a new Land Cruiser. I'll be looking for one, a 97. That's the last of the great years, great-looking ones. And I want to keep as much safety around me as possible. But what Tim has told us is something that I've known about for years, and is quite clearly advanced, ancient technology. And it does best describe, to the best of my ability, what my state of mind was when I lost it. It just was as if someone threw a switch and I was gone. And I don't do that at 60 miles an hour, ever. I wouldn't want to try to tell this to the police. They wouldn't believe it. But you folks have an idea of advanced technologies and what they do use on people who are problems. And we certainly have been, and I include you in this. This is your family. We certainly, all of us, have been a problem to them because we know much more than the average person will ever know. And that's crucial. And I want to say one more time, go back to Tim here. All of you who wrote in and left phone messages and so forth, I can't tell you how grateful I was to read those words. I work in a thimble, and I really don't have any idea of what this program is doing on the other end. So it was great to know, and I truly thank you. I was just humbled. And okay, there have been, again, others who have died in airplane crashes, car crashes, countless people. Paul Wellstone and his wife and two pilots went down in broad daylight, very strange. Many others. So, you going to make it there, Tim?
I'm ozonating myself, Jeff.
Okay. He's an ozone junkie.
I've got two Microzone 500s on at the same time.
When I get pictures, I haven't seen the car yet, I'll try and take pictures and maybe put them up on the site, just to give you an idea of what seat belts and two airbags can do in a violent, usually fatal, single car crash off a road down into a very large ditch, and then pitch forward apparently and end over end. I don't know. I'm told the car is just absolutely a disaster. It's gone, crushed. So we'll see. Anyhow, Tim, the idea of removing people is a multifaceted issue. They do it many different ways. This is just one.
But this was done in a panic. So that's it was in my opinion, definitely, because we're releasing information.
What do you mean,
the
done in a panic?
U.S. psychic warfare program.
Oh, we lost him.
Can you hear me?
I didn't like what he was saying, I guess.
Can you hear me?
We'll get him back in just a minute. Now, what else do I have to say about this? I have yet to see the insurance company. I have yet to talk to the state police who were there. I want to thank the EMTs, obviously, and the hospital personnel for taking such extraordinary care of me. I might have just as easily never woken up. Brain trauma is brain trauma, and I'm sure some of you listening have had similar events. I'm not used to being injured. I don't like it. I didn't like being in the hospital. That's why I requested and basically insisted that I be let out at the earliest possible moment, even if I wasn't fit to be released. So I did, and here I am, back with the people that matter, you folks. So we're there. Please do wear your seatbelts at all times. Don't fall for the game of buying a fuel-efficient little roller skate of a car or a tuna can. There's no safety in them whatsoever. They just collapse and you're gone. Bigger car, less efficient mileage is much more desirable than anything I can think of. So you have to keep that in mind as well. Now, Tim has put an ad up on rents.com. It's on the left-hand side, down a little bit lower, opposite the news. You'll see it's our left column. It has to do with, he's a little dramatic about his expressions, but he says, be a real Jedi. And you'll have to go take a look and click on it to find out what he's talking about. I haven't been able to do it yet, but it is up there right now. And we also have him reading what he just basically read to you, how these things work, how easy it is to shut somebody's mind off. And I just remember going from total consciousness to a fragmentary memory of floating, just being as if you were in a deep sleep and you were just floating along, happy. And that's how I felt. There was no feeling of danger, no feeling of urgency whatsoever. And according to the folks there, when the paramedics or whomever pulled me out of the car, I was dead. And probably to me, I might as well have been. Is that no consciousness whatsoever? Don't know how they do these things, but they do marvelous work. So there we go. Any luck with Tim? I hate not to say goodnight to
folks. Can you hear me, Jeff? Jeff,
all right.
You there?
Well, take a look for the ad on the homepage, and you'll see what he's doing now. And Tim always does very eclectic, eccentric things, and fun stuff too. And you know how much he dislikes people. He's on his good behavior tonight. You notice that? We can't call him Terrible Tim tonight. Call him Technical Tim, I guess. Headlines coming up later tonight at Rents. A lot going on. I'll be putting up a batch. I got the first batch up since the accident several hours ago. I'll be putting up one later tonight. More stories. And trying to keep you as informed as we possibly can. Remember, 100 to 150 stories a day. I can't read them all and vet them all. I go on basic content. I rewrite the headlines to help you understand what the story is about and make it easier for you which ones you like to click on and read. And so it's just a labor of economy and getting the most bang for the buck with the fewest words. You can read the headlines in the center column at Rents every day, and you will be able to have a working knowledge of much of the world. That's how I think important they are. So I hope you'll take advantage of that. I do try to sequence them and keep them in groups so you don't end up just moseying all over the map. That's a lot of work too, but it's quite important. Now we got let me take this call. This is live radio. Hello? Hello, Tim. Where did you go? British government again? They don't like that information out there. You're right. Yeah. If you want, we can probably get you. I'll turn the microphone up here and just put you on the phone, and you can give a whole Yeah. Hold on. Let me do this. See? Real radio. Let me put this plug back in there. Okay, so here's Tim. He's going to give a final statement, just a little wrap-up summary for us. I've kind of wrapped it up, but you did a great job presenting that. It's quite clear that they have this technology and have had for 50 years. So, all right, go ahead and say your piece. Speak loudly.
Back to the book. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Soon Becker, too, was on the track of the electromagnetic nature of hypnosis. He, too, developed instruments to monitor hypnosis and suggestion. As the client sank into deep trance, there was an electrical change. Negative potential at the front of the head dropped to zero. That's explaining what I was talking about. With hypnosis and suggestion, he could change the body's direct current potentials. That caused pain to be upped or decreased. You could do the same with electric or magnetic fields. Hypnosis and EM fields work the same way. Self-suggestion for healing also functions this way. Becker says, it alters the body's electro-potentials. The reverse could also work, alter the field, produce aberrant behavior, and memory loss. One has to wonder how often fields were summoned in the effort to see multiples to blank and jumble memory. One reason the electro-zap didn't sound strange to us is that we were familiar with the showcase experiments of Soviet Psi, led by world-famous physiologists, bolstered by mountains of published reports, repeated endlessly for 50 years. Telepathic hypnosis was well established in the USSR decades ago. Usually this telepathic knockout happened room to room, but sometimes it stretched over hundreds of miles. Experiments tried to implant subliminal suggestion in subject memories, and eventually these researchers also worked with supposedly classified EM fields. So of course what we'll see that
Okay. All right. We got to say goodnight, Tim. Thank you. We're running late here, but we got it, and very good job. No problem.